to Buckley. What a magnificent kick. Wonderful.
Buckley, who unloads from 55 metres out. Buckley scores.
The buck stops here. For Tyre Power, they love keeping you safe on the road. End of financial year sale now on.
Whammy.
Righto, let's jump into this short and sharp. Number one, Collingwood, Port Adelaide on the weekend. The clear form teams in the comp. They went about their business. They toyed with their opposition and they got the wins.
Oh, I just thought we played all parts of the game incredibly brutal. It's definitely as good a half as I've seen us play for a long, long time. So, you know, and to expect that to continue on was probably me being a bit greedy in some ways. I just couldn't expect that from the boys. They were, you put 100 points on the board at half time. That's pretty damaging.
That was really powerful footy. They flexed their muscle early against Hawthorn. No Dixon, no Boak, no Jonas, and then a couple of others. You know, Georgiades, who's out for the year, but they'd still do it. Like, everyone misses players at different times, but to be able to pull it together the way Port have and to put their wins together has been awesome. And then Collingwood on the other side of the country, different. You know, they withstood
The
pressure and the challenge. And West Coast played with real heart and real spirit. But then Collingwood just extended at the end in a very similar way, flexed their muscle when needed. No side bottom, no McStay, no Elliott. So in the end, there's dealing with change of personnel. And, you know, DeGoey will go out of Collingwood's side. I think that just is another chance for Collingwood to prove that it has a system that can get the job done without key personnel in different ways. So I thought that was a standout. You know, two teams expected to win those games, but did it in style and did it in with some real power. And as Ken Hinckley said, then you'd have to be your expectations need to be over the top to not be satisfied with what both those teams.
I agree with that. And there was some talk, well done to Hawthorn for fighting back in the second half, which, you know, part of that is true, but their work was done. It was honestly a brutal performance from Port Adelaide in the first half in hot conditions in Adelaide. And then Collingwood are 11-1, and you're probably not going to miss the grand final from that position. I wouldn't have thought. They're in an awesome spot.
No, long way to go. Long way to go.
The history would say 11-1. The history books, you essentially make a grand final from this position. Yes, it does. I know.
You know what?
Everyone, I know history's not a guide of the future.
You know what? Everyone that's 11-1 that gets the granny needs to do.
What?
Win a couple of finals before they get there.
I understand.
All right. Number two, Suns. They've taken a step on the weekend, and Stuart Dew, their coach, is under pressure. We spoke about this game last week around the Crows, and it was definitely validation of what they're building at the moment.
We've obviously got to work on our starts, but we didn't panic again when we conceded a few goals in a row, and they stuck at it. And I think when the game was on the line, you know, they kicked the first in the last, but our guys ramped it up. So we were plus 22 contested in the last when it's there to be won, and proud of the effort across the board.
But they were nearly six goals down halfway through the second
35
quarter.
35 points, yeah.
So to say that you need to work on your starts is an understatement, if that is a consistent thing for them. But Crows were playing good football. But what it showed for me, once again, is that the Suns need to play as many games in Darwin as they can. They've won their last four after losing their first two in, I think they started playing up there sort of 2018-19. They lost to Hawthorn, they lost to Carlton, and they've won their last four games. So Hawthorn, North Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, and Adelaide this year has been significant. Lukosius kicked 10 goals up there in the two games. Rowell just loved the conditions. Humphreys loved the conditions. They played a go forward mentality, messy football, which when you're playing in that sort of humidity, is exactly the way you need to go about it. And you know, They should try and get a third and a fourth game up there during the year, because it would definitely be an advantage against any opposition.
Got some resilience now, don't they? They've got competitors, which he has spoken about in recent times, that refuse to lose. I thought the work that they did on Isaac Rankin, the physicality to limit his influence.
You know, but didn't lose their focus on what they needed to
do. But he did. So that was a good sign for them, just two effective kicks for Rankin, and then to be challenged again and to come out on top. Shows that they've turned the corner.
Yeah, and Tuke Miller sitting there in the headset and the interchange bench with a big smile on his face, and he's been the heart and soul of the club as along with Jared Witts for the last two or three years. So, or has become even more so. So there's some upside there. Number three, the only query on Geelong, they're the sleeper in the second half of the year to be the reigning premier and to be sitting where they are at the moment. They are the sleeper going into the second half. The only query is their injuries. But we know that if anyone's able to time their run and pull it all together, it's the Cats and it's Chris Scott.
Yeah, really proud of the approach that our players took to the game. I thought it was a high-quality game and we didn't feel like we had control of it for large periods. But our less experienced players played with a kind of assertiveness and positivity that we were after. And there are lots of examples of that. That's the exciting part for us, that we were able to really focus in on the way we wanted to play tonight.
And they needed to play together as a team. Cam Guthrie's out, surgery on his toe apparently. Mm-hmm. Dangerfield, Radiguilera and Duncan, three hammies. That is the question. Are the hammies an underlying issue around their preparation physically for the year?
Yep, and age. I mean, the biggest risk is you've done one before and your age with hamstrings. So Duncan and Dangerfield, Radiguilera probably hasn't had too many issues as he's not that old. So, yeah, but those three should be back after the
bye. Then you've got Menegola with a knee, Holmes with a knee, who's reported to come back, Stanley with an eye socket, which is a contact injury. But these are the questions. But the soft tissue, so is it something fundamental and underlying that is going to recur, or are they one-offs that they can come back and manage and get them back up and running when the whips are cracking? That's the question, because as Chris Scott just mentioned, they've got young Mullen, Zach Guthrie, who's done a fantastic job and really has been consistent for the last couple of years. Yeah, Ollie Henry, who's come in and is settling himself into the side. Nevitt, who had some big moments.
Good
as
overhead,
well.
Kicked a big goal on half time. I really like him. Bruin would Tanner be the Bruin. Other one.
So you've still got a raft of young players there that are, and Sam DeConing obviously a couple of games back. You've got a raft of young players there that they're getting a look at before their time. Some of them aren't ready, but they're the most ready out of their next batch. And you find out, if you find one or two out of that, and then you add it to Stewart, Hawkins, Cameron, Dangerfield, if he gets back, there's plenty of talent in that side. And they were, grand final last year, so dominant. So I don't think anyone can really write the Cats off. You can presume to.
You can question where they're at.
And the questions are warranted with what they've put forward.
That was a significant performance, though. Like so all of the young guys you mentioned, but the last quarter, their big stars came to play. Stewart, Jeremy Cameron, I'd love to see his GPS, Jeremy Cameron. He was everywhere on the night. Isaac Smith was quite early, but had some big moments. So they're senior players really stood up when the game was on the line as well.
Talk about legitimate guns in the competition. Mm-hmm. Tom Stewart is right up there. I mean, and he's been a star for a long time, and I think he's rated, but he's probably one of those guns that is still underrated for what he
Can you
puts
be
out
underrated
there?
With four All-Australian jackets in probably seven seasons?
Probably not, but he just keeps getting it done.
What a pick.
He keeps getting it done. He's a star. Have I told you my story about him?
No.
We'll get to it on the other side.
I'll look forward to doing that. Tell us about Brett Ratton.
Yeah, so the fourth one is North Melbourne's energy. My question is, Alistair Clarkson, we believe him and to be a great coach. He's a four-time premiership coach. We've got a great profile. No one would suggest that he hasn't got the ability to get the job done with any group of players at any time. You remove him from the equation at North and Brett Ratton comes in, fresh voice, of a very offensive coach, a positive coach, changes the way about it, but it's more about the negative energy that is removed from North and how much impact that actually has. But to the positive first, how good have they been in the last 3 weeks? No wins, but just a sign of what they're capable of going forward.
Yeah, I think the effort was full of merit. The way we got challenged and fought and found a way to get back into the game, and then it was Evan, they kick one, we kick one towards the end. It was just that arm wrestle. That was really pleasing.
So the energy was my major focus as a positive. The second part of it is the negative energy that's left. And my supposition here is that when there's off-field issues, when there is speculation in the media about anything, whether it's off-field or on-field, it impacts the environment of the football club. It impacts the way the locker room perceives the people that are being speculated on, that stand in front of them day in, day out, to try and teach them about football and how to be better people. And yet, when they're questioned around that, there's a character assassination or a legitimate question about their character that's taking place in that moment, it's almost impossible to do your job and to have a positive impact on the group of people
that
you're involved in.
So what now? Well, you're suggesting that it's been a positive for Alistair Clarkson to step away.
It's been a positive for North Melbourne.
For the performance, yeah.
Alistair Clarkson made a decision that he clearly needed to make was to step away.
So what now? You've got a coach that is the master and was built as the saviour of the footy club.
Yep.
He's on huge money to the point where North have now had to apply for an exemption with their soft cap to pay Brett Ratten because he was part-time, still paying Alistair Clarkson. Where do you go to from here?
I don't know exactly how this plays out. All I know is that North Melbourne have been seemingly freed up in the last 3 weeks. Now, that may have happened anyway. It might be just the young guys coming of age. There's plenty of variables that you can't measure from the outside. My gut is that there was a heaviness in the environment at stages through the first half of the year that is gone, that is not no longer there.
Hard to argue with that.
And only the people inside the club would be aware of that or would feel that. The playing group could speak to it, and their performances definitely show that. Mm. So I've lived it, and it's difficult, and it's something, as much as you try to get past it, sometimes mud sticks, and whatever Alistair Clarkson was dealing with, it definitely would have seeped into his coaching and it definitely would have seeped into the club. And I think that's freed it up in some shape or form in the last 3 weeks. So to watch this space with what happens going forward. The fifth one is what I would deem is Jordan De Goey hysteria. He definitely deserves to be up at tribunal and he'll get the weeks that he deserves. For mine, it's a 3. But I think the reaction post this incident has been over the top.
What?
Picked up, running hard. Hewitt, he was bumped hard and he's going to get a free kick. It's against De Goey.
One of the favourites for the Brownlow medal, having a great season.
Take a look at the replay. It's now coming up. Yeah, we've just seen it on the big screen and he's in a bad way.
And there will be a suspension for Jordan De Goey.
In isolation, you were really keen to jump in there. You're not the only one, mate.
We were going to go to Tim Gossage there.
No, you're not the only one. No, it's a football action. It was instinctive football action. It's one that's not accepted in the game now. There was no raised elbows. There was no real jumping off the ground.
When you say it's a football action,
yep.
Explain how that's a football action.
You made a comment on Sunday about how you thought that it was a weak. You said weak.
That was a weak act.
Yeah, nah, I don't agree with you at all. And there was obviously stuff that you tried to wrap in about his off-field misdemeanors.
Is that not fair? Like,
is it too much to ask to have
1 season where you're blemish-free? Now that can be off the field, that can be on the field. Like, this is year 9 for Jordan De Goey, and I genuinely think it has been a waste of the talent that he's got, and largely due to his own fault.
Yeah, well, I think you're judging that every player needs to have a certain level of professionalism and an understanding of what it takes to be an AFL footballer. You compared him to Bontempelli, and I think if you compare him to some of the players that have at least an equal or in the same class of talent.
Yeah, that was my point, but more so in
that's
in,
only one
in the
part
line
of performance.
Of the talent. Yeah.
That's only one part of performance. There's different upbringings. There's different ways of seeing the world. There's different motivations that come to play to pull the final package together. But all of that is separate to what happened on the field with Jordy De Goey. Like that was a knee-jerk, like instant, blink of an eye outcome that I don't think that, you know, Jordan, I don't reckon 5 metres before that he was thinking he's going to iron the kid out. I'm thinking he's going to go in and tackle him. He held on to the ball for a long time. I think that there's been a responsibility for players to look after themselves in the football field that's been that players have been absolved of. The duty of care needs to go to an opposition player. An opposition player needs to take care of your duty of care. The individual needs to look after himself. After he handballed, he was probably half a second from protecting himself. He was in the process of getting his arm up and protecting himself.
Jordy, you've been incredibly lenient, Bucks.
No. I think he deserves 3 weeks.
Skillful player who can turn on a dime, pick the ball up, snap it over his shoulder, and we go, oh, how good's that? So you're telling me in the moment he's got options. He can tackle. He can corral. The ball was gone. It's a defenseless player who's got rid of the ball and he jumps off the ground and smashes him with his shoulder in the head.
He's not a defenseless player. He's an 18-year-old kid
who's got rid of the footy and he's not expecting to be bumped in the head in that moment.
You're on a football field. You should be expecting
contact.
Not in
the head, not with what we know now.
You tried to wrap up the fact that Geordie shouldn't have had that contest against that opposition because they're lowly ranked.
Well, all of that. Yeah, he just didn't need to put himself at risk.
It's not going to be part of the calculation. And as a coach, I want my players to go out and play on edge all the time. A guy like Geordie DeGoey, who's a physical beast, who plays who does play on the edge and with aggression, the way that you played, what you think is weak would be different to what he thinks is weak.
I know, but in the end, he's going to be missing from the program for 5 weeks, possibly.
How's that as a coach? How's that good? And this shows you how marginal this game is. And if you've got players that are missing weeks for simply tackling their opposition, and I've been, I can't bang on this any
further. No, I'm with you on that. And I'm usually lenient. I'm usually on the player's side, but not on this one. This, with everything that we know, this was Tom Stewart-esque. This was jumping off the ground.
No, it wasn't jumping off the ground.
Hitting at a guy in the head. Well,
no. I don't think so. It's careless. It's high. The outcome was severe. He will go to the tribunal. He'll get 3 weeks and he'll deserve his 3 weeks. I'm not absolving from any of that. Okay. But the hysteria that surrounded and what if West Coast? What are West Coast tweeting about Geordie to go again? It's none of their business.
They've just had a player that's been cleaned up.
It's none of their business. And Dom Sheed's saying, like, oh, now I've just seen the vision. Maybe we should have stood up for him. None of the players stood up because it wasn't seen anything outside of a football act.
All right, hold fire.
Otherwise, these teammates would have got over and remonstrated.